to me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why.
The blind walk by faith, and Jesus gives them sight. Part 1, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 671, since January the 20th, 2017, day 1036, since January the 1st, 2016. Beloved, turn in your Bibles as we go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, here a little, there a little, Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31. And when Jesus departed thence, that is from where Jairus was and the daughter that he had raised from the dead, two blind men, remember now that last verse we read, fame went abroad from there. Two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord," or "Yes, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. We got some serious buffering here. You need to fix that. Over here. You need to get the speed up over here. Down here. Right there. I possibly can say that these two blind boys, if you will, thinking about the five blind boys of Alabama, these two guys were the first ones to say, "I just couldn't keep it to myself." Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us all to be at all times purpose-driven prayers. Purpose-driven prayers. Help us never to say anything we don't mean in prayer. Help us never pray anything we don't believe you can answer. Lord, help us not to say anything if we don't believe it's going to come to pass. Lord, help us not to say anything to you if we don't believe in you and trust in you. Help us to be purpose-driven prayers, praying very specifically, and not just saying platitudes and not just saying words. Have mercy upon us all, for we are all sinners and have a sinful nature. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our failures and our faults, and wash and cleanse our hearts, minds, souls, spirits, and consciences. In the precious blood of Christ, make us to all be whiter than snow on the inside. Cleanse us and fit us for your use. For some of us have sinned and we may not be aware of it. And Lord, that is why it is so good for us to confess all of our sins specifically and in general, because we have a sinful nature. And we cannot be used by you, Lord, unless the vessels are clean. Our vessels are clean. Clean hearts, clean minds, clean spirits. For we have seen in your Holy Word in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you can read minds. You can read thoughts. You know what's in our hearts. And we cannot fool you. And so, Lord, let judgment begin at the house of God. And help us to repent of our sins, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. We are weak and we are feeble. And we pray for your strength and your might. Not only me, but there are other people serving here. And there are hundreds, maybe thousands listening all around the world. And we pray that you would cast out the devil, that invisible enemy. Cast out the demons of hell that are lurking around here, inside some people and outside of some people, pressuring them, oppressing them, depressing them, trying to make them quit on you. And Lord, we pray that you'd rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts. Lord, from each person's heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and help them to feel the lifting of that pressure right now, and to not yield to temptation, to do evil against you, and to try to hinder your gospel from going forward. We pray, Lord, that you'd open the blinded eyes of the lost. Open their blinded eyes. We pray for over 3 million souls to repent of their sins and to trust Christ as Savior by the power of your Holy Spirit, by the power of your gospel. And we pray for over 3 million Christians to be revived again and to get back to you, their first love. And we cast all of our cares upon you tonight. The evil that's being done against us from the outside, the evil that's being done against us on the inside, Lord, we cast it all upon you, and we pray that you'd stop it, rebuke it, and have your gospel to go forward. In your holy name glorified, Jesus Christ exalted, and Satan always horrified because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus can raise the dead, he can solve our problems today. If Jesus can give 2 blind men sight, then he can give us sight and vision far beyond measure. And we thank you for that kind of power to tap into in this sin-cursed world. Help us to do it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, John Greenleaf Whittier said, "The steps of faith fall on the seeming void, but find the rock beneath." And may I lovingly encourage you, dear friends, to have the kind of faith that these 2 blind men had. Have the kind of faith as Jairus had for his daughter in your life. These are true accounts. These are not fictitious stories. These are not fables. These are not parables. These things truly happened. And you need to believe in God the same way for your own life. And what Whittier is pointing out here, sometimes you may pray and you may feel very weak and feeble, and it seems like everything is empty and void. But that faith in God, even the size of a mustard seed, will find the solid rock of Jesus Christ and God. And even though you may not feel it on the inside that your prayers are being answered, you'll look up one day and zip, bam, boom, God has done something great for you. Because he's a good God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, regarding the text, Dr. James Burton Kaufman said, the symbolism of this incident is beyond magnificent. He said, although the learned Pharisees, and you might recall I pointed this out last night in the message as God led me, although the learned Pharisees and Sadducees and doctors of religion could not see Christ as the Messiah, they were blinded. They were spiritually blinded. Or see him as the son of David. These blind, physically blind men could see him as the Messiah. Even a blind man knew that the Messiah had indeed appeared in the person of Jesus Christ, of course, being the Messiah. Matthew alone recorded this very interesting situation. From various Old Testament passages, it is clear from the Word of God that blindness, spiritually speaking, is a manifestation of sin. As in all other maladies, a number of examples of Jesus restoring sight to the blind are recorded and were prophetically included as a positive mark of the Messiah's power when he should be revealed. Isaiah said of the Messiah and his times, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. No doubt Isaiah was referring to spiritual eyes and physical eyes, because most people have their physical sight today, but they are spiritually blind, blind as a bat. Many preachers are blind, but they have great eyesight. In fact, they have glasses on as well. They can see very well. They make sure to that. In fact, they take care of their physical eyesight better than their spiritual eyesight. But many, listen to me very carefully, many pastors are blinded. Many preachers are blinded. Many so-called leading the blind. Many so-called Christians are blind as they can be. Great physical eyesight, but spiritually blind. I marvel at the blindness of so many so-called Christians, so many preachers, so many pastors. You can't lead the blind if you're blind. You're blind if you go around telling preachers, telling people that if you commit suicide, you're going to heaven. You're just blind. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're saying. I say that in light of the fact that just today it has been reported that another preacher has blown his brains out. I want to say to everybody in here, don't get discombobulated. Don't get confused. Stick with your Holy Bible. And you will not find that in the Bible. You will not find that kind of activity. That's foreign not only to the Bible, but to church history. They had to kill, they had to crucify Peter upside down. They had to kill Paul. I assure you, because they had Jesus living on the inside of them, that they never thought about killing themselves. And nobody went through more persecution than Paul. And so that is anti-Bible and anti-church history. And you will not find preachers in the Bible telling people it's okay to kill yourselves when Jesus is the Prince of Life, not of death. Amen, somebody. That is Satan telling you to kill yourself. He is the Prince of Darkness and Death. I thought I would add that and say that tonight, because most preachers are blind and they're telling people a lie and setting them up to go to hell. Excuse me. After the news of Jairus' daughter being not healed but raised from the dead was made known to the public, you can't keep news like that down. The old saints used to say, I tried to keep it to myself, but I had to tell somebody. I marvel at Christians who don't tell anybody about Jesus at any time. They're Secret Service Christians, undercover Christians, and their motto is, I let my life speak for me. That's wonderful. Your life is not that great, however. So tell somebody about Jesus so that they can at least be saved. And remember, you're just a beggar telling other beggars where the bread is, man. You're not that great. You're not great at all. You're a wicked, evil sinner deserving of hell, as we all are. See, to my life, I let my life speak for me. That means you don't want to witness and tell people about Jesus. After the news of Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead was made known to the public, it is likely that that was all that was talked about for the rest of that day and for many days afterwards. It was in the Washington Post. It was in the New York Times of that day. It was in Jerusalem Today. And all of the publications, it was on CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, and you know how they do. Boy, they'll kill a story. I mean, they will run a story until it's on fumes. And so for days, maybe 2 weeks, they kept talking about Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead by Jesus. I can hear the news reports right now. This man who came out of nowhere named Jesus, back up over there in the right. Back up all the way. I can hear the news reports. This man named Jesus, who seemingly came out of nowhere, he's going from place to place, raising the dead and healing the sick. And here's Jairus' daughter. They pop up a picture on the screen. She's alive and well, but she was dead. Here's an interview with the minstrels who were at the place, and they laughed at this man Jesus to scorn. And the minstrels said, yeah, I'm shocked. I'm still in shock because, you know, we laughed him to scorn. We ridiculed him and called him all kinds of names. But lo and behold, he raised her from the dead. That's a fact. No doubt, ladies and gentlemen, many friends, many relatives, many neighbors, and even complete strangers came by Jairus' house to see for themselves the girl who lived again, who came back from the dead at the power, at the touch of the Master's hand. However, there were some in that town who could not see the risen girl, nor her resurrector, if you will, with their own eyes. They were spiritually blind. They could only, they were physically blind. They could only hear the glad news. But there were some who were spiritually blind as well, and they couldn't see it either. They refused to believe it. But as these physically blind men heard these good tidings, they began to think within themselves and say to one another, perhaps the man named Jesus, who raised that girl from the dead, can do something for us as well. I'm sure they said to themselves, to each other rather, with a smile on their face, with a chuckle, if he can raise somebody from the dead, I'm sure he can give us sight. For you see, the two men we are looking at today are blind, and they had nothing to do but to sit on street corners and beg for their living, which afforded them the prime position to hear the happenings of the day. As Jesus was leaving the vicinity of Jairus' house, no doubt, Daniel, people recognized him and flocked to him. If you will, he was a celebrity at this time. These blind men sensed their chance and followed Jesus as well. If you will, no doubt stumbling, hobbling, tapping a cane in front of them, and likely being helped by a few dear souls who saw their predicament as they was trying to make their way to Jesus. Dr. William Barclay says blindness was a distressingly common disease or ailment in Palestine. It came partly from the glare of the eastern sun on unprotected eyes, and partly because many people knew nothing of the importance of cleanliness and hygiene in those days. In particular, the clouds of unclean flies carried infections, which led to loss of sight, end of quote. Although these blind men could not see, we read that they walked, even that they followed Jesus. Do you know what it is like to walk blindfolded? Well, many of you know now, after this movie on Netflix. I have not watched it because ever since I've been saved, for some reason, I don't watch anything that's scary. I don't watch anything that's a horror flick that's going to scare the daylights out. My spirit, the spirit in me, I have no interest in that. I haven't even watched Boo. So Birdcage, I think the name of the show is. I have not seen it. When I saw my girl, I forget, Sandra, I think her name is. I saw my girl in a blindfold. I said, no. Danny B won't be watching that. If she's so scared to see it, and she got a blindfold on, I know I can't look at it. And so, and little do they know, you can have a blindfold on and still see bad things. But anyway, if you have ever done that, and many of you have now, even if you had a strong familiarity with your surroundings, once the blindfold is on real good now, it is as if someone might as well had opened a trap door at your feet. That is often what it means to walk by faith. to walk without sight, to walk without knowing where your next step might fall or what might lie around your very next corner. Yet this does not mean that faith is blind. It means instead that one has a strong grasp on the object of their faith. The blind men did not know the number of steps that would eventually lead them to Jesus, yet they walked. Amen, somebody. And I want you to put yourself in the position of these two blind men tonight, and I want you to start walking by faith. Stop whining. Stop complaining. Stop blaming others. Stop criticizing and stop doubting God. In fact, don't pray anything unless you believe God will answer your prayers. Walk by faith and not by sight. Things may seem void and empty when you pray. You may not feel anything, and it may seem very dark because you're blindfolded. Have faith in God is what Jesus would tell you. They did not know how many turns they would have to take to reach Jesus, yet they walked. They did not know how often they would slip, slide, trip, stub their toe, and tumble in their effort to reach Jesus, yet they walked on by faith. They could hear him in the distance. They can hear the crowd racing to him, jumping in front of them, being selfish, unconcerned about those who needed him the most. They did not know how many people in the crowd would help them or hinder them in their effort to reach Jesus. And if they were living today, the people would knock them down to the ground and beat them up with their cane that they were walking on. Laugh them to scorn. Take the little money that they do have. If they were living today. But yet they walked. The question for us today, my beloved, is whether we will walk in faith and walk by faith even when we cannot see the road ahead of us. Will we keep the faith? Will we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Not only in good times, my beloved, but in bad times. Not only when things are going well, but when things are not going so well. Not only when your marriage is wonderful and nothing but bliss, but when it's hell. Not only when the children are little and they're a bunch of fun, but even when they get older and you don't even want to call them by their first name, you want to call them Beelzebub because they're acting like the devil. When the money is high and the debts are low. But even when the debts are high and the money is low, have faith in God. Will we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Are you doing that tonight? Or have you given up on God? Have you ceased having faith in God Almighty? Are you disobeying Jesus when he said to you, have faith in God? The God who did the impossible for you back then and for you in this life, in the past, is the same God who can do it again today. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you know him tonight as your personal Lord and Savior? And those of you who have been saved a long time, is he still your friend? Or have you forsaken him, loving this present evil world? Some of you are in danger of following pagan faiths, and you don't even know it. You're slowly but surely being cooked by pagan religion, false religions, and the world. You're slowly but surely being boiled to death. Why? Because you don't pray to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob anymore. Because you don't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob anymore, and the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't read his word anymore, and so your faith is dying on the vine. When Jesus still says to you and to me, have faith in God. Amen, somebody. Henry Alford said, we walk by faith and not by sight. No gracious words we hear from him who spake as never man, but we believe him near. We may not touch his hands and side, nor follow where he trod, but in his promise we rejoice and cry, my Lord and my God. I still believe in God. I still believe in Jesus. How about you tonight? Help thou, O Lord, our unbelief, and may our faith abound to call on thee when thou art near, and seek where thou art found. That when our life of faith is done, in realms of clearer light, we may behold thee as thou art, with full and endless sight. Let's stand for a word of prayer tonight. And as I told you, don't pray unless you mean it. Be a purpose-driven prayer. Only pray what you mean. If you have every intention on confessing your sins and repenting, do that. If you want to apologize to God for not having faith in him like you used to, do that. Ask God to forgive you, and he will. Believe it. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word, and we thank you for this message. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that brought it forth. We individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults in regards to our faith in you. Where we have faltered in any way, Lord, help us to truly confess our sins on an individual basis and help us to repent. For nothing bothers you more than our faithlessness, our unbelief, our doubt. And so, Lord, forgive us of our sins and help us to believe in you again. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, Lord, we pray for the salvation of those who are lost under the sound of my voice. Open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears. And, Lord, we do not have to get emotional about it. We simply need to have faith in you to save the lost at your gospel, with your gospel, and revive those who are saved. And we believe in you tonight. We know that you're going to do it. We have no doubt about it. And we thank you in advance. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, beloved, if you are with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in the free pardon, in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation from the power and pain and punishment of sin in hell forever. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner. I don't care how beautiful you are, how fine you are, how handsome you think you are, how much money you have. I don't care if you have $140 billion. You are a sinner, and you know it. You've done evil, and you've done wrong. No matter how you justify yourself, we all have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God. We all have failed to reach His standard. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. Always, everywhere, all around the world, there's a penalty for sin on earth and from heaven. So secondly, Daniel White the Fourth, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. We die because of the evil we do in our bodies. Our body goes to the grave. Our soul goes to heaven or hell. If we trust Christ as Savior, we'll go, in this life, we'll go to heaven. If we reject Christ, the soul will go to hell. It is as simple as that. You can't go to heaven without trusting Christ as your Savior. That's why Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I share that verse with you to remind you that Jesus Christ taught that there is a hell. In fact, he preached more on hell than he did about heaven to warn us. He preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, all of the prophets in the Bible, and certainly most preachers today. Hell is an awful place. Hell is a sad place, and here are some people who are going there. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful are going to hell. The unbelieving are going to hell. The abominable are going to hell. And murderers are going to hell. Whoremongers are going to hell. And sorcerers are going to hell. And idolaters are going to hell. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The only way to escape this, you say, well, I've done all of those things. Well, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get your sins forgiven so that you can go to heaven and not go to hell. That's why we call it the good news. For hell is bad news. The lake of fire is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he, Jesus Christ, suffered and bled on the cross and died for your sins and mine, was buried and rose again. And all you have to do is believe in him. You don't have to be in a church to believe in Christ. You don't have to go to church to believe in Christ. You don't have to get baptized to believe in Christ and be saved. All of these things are wonderful. You don't have to do good works to be saved. All you have to do to be saved from hell is believe on Christ and be willing to repent of your sins, turn from your old life and follow Christ. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will save you. For Romans 10, 9 and 13 says that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you willing to pray and ask Christ to save you? Ask God to save you by believing in Christ. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer as you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Follow me in prayer right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done many evil things in your sight. I admit that I have lied many times. I admit that I have lusted after people and things. I admit that I took your holy name in vain. I admit that I have stolen things before. Holy Father God, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say again, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our many other emails, Facebook pages, Twitter pages, and so forth. And let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Elizabeth, tell us the most popular email that you get. Salvation reports, rededication reports, and prayer requests. See it? On what site? Okay, we get most of our reports on Gospel Light Society and Gospel Light House of Prayer. So wherever you might be, email us there and we will get it. And we will send the free information to you, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, which will be tomorrow, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, may God bless you real good. God loves you. Jesus loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.